Good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. Welcome to worship on this fifth Sunday of Easter. It's wonderful to see all of you here, some familiar faces. Starting off with some announcements this morning, there will be a church board meeting this Monday at 7 p.m. There's also our Bible study on the book of Isaiah. It's the second week on Tuesday at 7 p.m. If you're interested in attending that Bible study, please contact Pastor John for more information on that. You'll find his contact information on the back of your bulletin. We've also got our virtual Shady Oak Bible study Tuesday night, also at 7 p.m. If you're interested in that Bible study, you can contact Pastor Giovanni. His contact information is also on the back of your bulletin. There's a deacon board meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m. And a little while ago, we talked about having our local ministry partners share about the ministry that they have in the community when we've got a five-Sunday month. And May has five Sundays. So next week, we are going to have Greg Anderson, the president of Inspiration Point. He's going to be here at Stavanger, and he's going to be talking to us a little bit about the ministry of Inspiration Point. He'll be speaking both in the Sunday school time and then also sharing with us during our worship hour. So definitely something you aren't going to want to miss. Confirmation Sunday is at the end of the month, May 30th, so we're definitely looking forward to that. And another announcement, there are some more DVDs in the back. Joe Anderson has provided some more DVDs, and if you are interested in any of those, you can stop by and pick those up. So are there any other announcements? Yeah.
In addition to what Pastor Eric mentioned about Greg Anderson being here from Inspiration Point, know that during the Sunday school hour, he has a special presentation for adults that will be talking about the new property of Twin Oaks that they've purchased and are now using. And also at the very end of that session, the last 10 or 15 minutes or so, we'll have Sunday school kids come and join, and that'll be right here in the sanctuary, and it'll speak directly to them about camp. So whether young or old, camper or parent or grandparent of one or anything of that nature, be sure to be here and hear what Greg has to share about the ministry. Some exciting things happening and how we can be involved. And also, next week, we do plan to make available, if people want to contribute to our camp scholarship, we try to help kids go to camp from Stavanger to make it easier for families who have perhaps one or more kids sending to camp. So be prepared to help with that next week as well. Thank you.
Just thinking back to our confirmation retreat that we just went on with the confirmation students, yeah, Inspiration Point is pretty awesome. It was a great experience, a really good time to just go over the sacraments, and yeah, so definitely something you'd want to consider supporting if you can. So now as we begin our service, our call to worship this morning is Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us have a moment of silence as we continue to prepare for worship. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. We ask that you would turn our hearts and our minds to you and to your holy word. Lord, we thank you for your fatherly love and your patience toward us. We ask that that same love would be visible in us, caring for and supporting one another and all of those in need. We pray for all of those who are suffering, for those who have experienced loss, those who are alone, and all of those who are unable to be with us today. We ask that you would comfort and encourage those who have been isolated because of coronavirus. We pray for all of the leaders around the world that you would give them your wisdom and discernment. We ask that amid all of the changes and uncertainty in this world, that our hearts would be fixed where true joy is found. That is, in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of your church. And we pray that you would grow and strengthen us in unity and in love. We ask that our ears would be opened this morning to receive your word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as you are able as we continue to worship God this morning with our first hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Is in your bulletins. Now join us as we continue to worship with our second hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Sunday this week, so following the sermon, we will enjoy the meal of communion together. Now I would like to invite Pastor John up to deliver the sermon this morning.
I invite you to rise as you're able for the reading of God's Word. From Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. I read in Jesus' name. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south on the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Prepare us, O Lord, we ask, for an encounter with you along the way. Speak your word to us, Lord, and may we, your servants, be listening. And to that end, Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. I was sitting in a crowded minivan in the town of Maralal in northern Kenya. I was waiting for it to begin the long journey to Nairobi. I had just come from the post office where I'd collected our mail and was reading a newspaper sent from Portland, North Dakota. On the cover of that issue of the Trail County Tribune was a story about the mission field. It was a story about a group of farmers from a church near Portland I had served as pastor before going to Kenya as a missionary. And these farmers in the church had gotten together, rented a few acres, and planted soybeans on it, donating all their time, equipment, and materials. And the proceeds of that crop were sent to support our work as missionaries in Kenya. It's a wonderful story. As I read it, this tear was running down my cheek, and a young man sitting next to me in this crowded minivan, a Kenyan, noticed and took interest, and I explained to him what it was all about and why I was there in Kenya. And he began to share about himself. He had grown up in Kenya. His parents had taken him to church, a mainline denominational kind of church that one could find here in the U.S. But it seemed to him as all kind of empty ritual. It didn't really hit home for him, and he sort of drifted from it, as sometimes people do, as he got out of high school and went off to technical college and got training. When he was away from home, he was met up with people from a non-denominational church that seemed quite lively and attractive to him at first. But as he got further into acquainted with that group, the liveliness gave way to legalism. And he became quite disillusioned and left that group as well. He told me that he believed in God, but didn't have much time for churches anymore. And was kind of confused about it all, really. Hearing his story, I began to share with him the good news about Jesus. That it's not about what he can do for God to please God, but what Jesus had done for him to please God on his behalf. And as I shared this good news, it was evident from his countenance that this message was finding a place in his heart. It was changing him. As if, could this really be true? And so that conversation went with all the, I don't know, a couple dozen people it seemed like in that little minivan. I maybe exaggerate a bit, but we were packed in there, bumping along the dusty road of northern Kenya. They were all listening in on this conversation about Jesus. It was like rain was falling on dry ground as he soaked it in. And we talked about it until the trip came to an end and we parted our ways. I never saw him again. Encounters along the way. I've noticed just in my own experience and hearing testimonies of others that God often speaks to us or through us when we're on the way somewhere, and often with a stranger, someone we might never meet again and never met before. It's this way in the scriptures too. We see examples. If we look at Luke's previous writing in his gospel, and in Luke chapter 24, one of my favorite passages of scripture is the account of Jesus on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, where he meets up on the evening of the day he rose from the dead with two of his followers who are kept from recognizing who he is. That encounter along the way, and he begins to share the scriptures with them, starting with Moses and all the prophets, showing how they point to him. We see this encounter along the way kind of thing happening again in just the passage immediately following in this account of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip in Acts 8. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, Saul the Pharisee, going to persecute Christians on his way from Jerusalem to Damascus, was encountered along the way by none other than Jesus himself. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Encounters along the way. In each of these examples, we find a thread of how God has prepared the person to be encountered for the encounter. The disciples on the Emmaus Road had heard the word of the law and the prophets, what we know as the Old Testament. And Jesus reminds them. He says, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Slow of heart to believe implies that they've heard it and it just hasn't quite sunk in yet. It's the seed has been put in the soil, but nothing's come up. I started my seeds for the gardening. Some of you have asked me. It's springtime. You're going to hear about gardening from Pastor John at least once. And I put some seeds in the little seed starter, and most of them came up, but some didn't. They just sat there. Now, understand that some of those seed packets I was using were dated 2008. Might have had something to do with it. I can't throw them away. I ended up dumping about a half dozen in each cell just to see if one would come up, and no, and I think we're going to start over. I did have some other seed that was fresher, and it actually did sprout. But the seed of God's word is not defective. It doesn't go stale. And yet Jesus tells his disciples in the parable of the sower that some seed falls on the path. It never gets a chance to sprout. Some falls on rocky soil where it pops up quick and then no root, and the sun dries it up and it's done for. And others gets choked out by weeds. It lives, but it doesn't produce fruit. And then finally, there's some that does fall on good soil and does produce. Well, the seed of God's word has been sown in each of the people encountered in these various examples. It hasn't quite come up yet, but as with the case of the folks on the Emmaus Road, later in Jesus' breaking the bread, he said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures with us along the way? And so Paul, formerly Saul, he was trained as a Pharisee. He was an expert in the law. All of that law, which points to Jesus, but the seed hadn't sprouted yet. He hadn't seen it. Until one day, he saw the light, and it blinded him for a while. And then Jesus made clear that he was going to make Saul into Paul and an apostle to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews of all people. In each case, the seed of the word had been sown into the lives of these people to be encountered. And God used that in his time, in his way, an encounter to make that seed burst forth and sprout and see something new and living growing out of it. And now, here in Acts 8, this official, this high-ranking official in charge of all the treasury of this queen of Ethiopia, and we have a record of in the scriptures of an earlier queen from that part of the world, from Africa, south of Israel, coming, and she had great wealth when she met up with King Solomon. And so people from that part of the world have had some knowledge of the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This Ethiopian eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship, we are told by Luke, and was on his way back with a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he was reading it along the way in the chariot, and the fact that he was riding in a chariot further reinforces the point that this was a high-ranking person. Not everyone in those days rode in a chariot. That was reserved for the top-level people. And he was reading And in those days, reading almost always meant reading aloud, which allowed Philip to overhear what he was reading. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 53 of the prophet Isaiah. Perhaps more clearly, more obviously, more beautifully, more powerfully than I think any other passage of Scripture in the Old Testament I can think of so clearly points to Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. And so on. And this, in this portion, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. His life was taken from the earth. I was wondering how that scripture was hitting the ears of this Ethiopian eunuch. The word of the Lord, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Law and the Prophets, how had they served to prepare this man for the encounter he was about to receive along the way? The thing about that encounter business, though, is while these people have been prepared, there's also things that stand in the way along the way of these encounters. Things are almost always found in the way, standing in the way. For the Ethiopian eunuch, just the description of this man immediately reveals two, possibly three strikes against him for having a close encounter with the Lord. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. And if he's worshiping God in the temple at that time, as some of us have been studying the book of Acts, Gentiles were allowed kind of in the proximity of the temple, but there were dividing lines where they could go no farther in. You had to be an Israelite to get farther in, a Jew. And to get farther in, you had to be a male Israelite. And to get farther in, you needed to be from the tribe of Levi. And to get even closer, you had to be in the line of Aaron, and so on. This Ethiopian eunuch was on the outer edge. He was not getting close. He got as close as he could in worship. But he was an Ethiopian. That he was a non-Jew. He was a Gentile. He was on the outside. And not only so, even if someone was a Levite with the proper pedigrees, if he had any kind of defect or operation involving his reproductive organs, he would be disqualified from that close contact, that close encounter with the Lord in the temple service. In Ethiopia, in the ancient world, young males were often operated on and designated to be servants in a royal court, or perhaps, as we see in the book of Esther, to take care of the king's harem for some obvious reasons. That was done, and that was just their lot in life. They, in a culture, in a time when to be childless was viewed as a curse, had no possibility of having that blessing. And look at this passage. He's reading. This passage which speaks of Jesus says, "And who can speak of his descendants?" I wonder how that hit the ears of this Ethiopian eunuch. Something in the way. Something in the way. Not only was he Ethiopian, not only was he a eunuch, but as such, at his time, in that time and place, in the operation that made him a eunuch, they sometimes went further and removed the possibility that he could even be circumcised, the sign of what it meant to become or belong to the covenant people of Israel. No possibility. And yet, he was drawn to worship this Lord who he could only get so close to. and was reading from his word. There were things in his way preventing him from a close encounter. Ritual impurity, ethnic pedigree, and so it goes. But if it wasn't any of those things for him, or if it's not any of those things for us, there are things that get in our way of a close encounter with God. And it's namely the reason why this lamb had to be led to the slaughter. In short, it's sin. We don't get a close encounter with the Lord without dealing with the obstacle of our sin. And that's exactly what the prophet Isaiah was writing about, inspired by the Holy Spirit, preparing this man to hear that what was standing in his way has been removed. You see, he had been prepared by the word of the Lord and his situation to hear from Philip that what he was reading pointed to the one who removed the obstacles. It pointed to Jesus, whose perfect life, sacrificial death, and glorious resurrection has removed the thing standing in the way between him and God. In fact, he's removed the thing standing in the way between you and God. And as such, he was able to receive this good news of how, beginning with this passage and going throughout the scripture, they pointed to Jesus. This eunuch, if he had read just a little farther ahead in Isaiah, which I don't doubt he did, just a couple chapters, Isaiah 56, listen to the promise. Isaiah 56:3, "Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people.' And let not any eunuch complain, 'I'm only a dry tree.' For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters." Did you catch that? Within the temple, the place where they're excluded from God's presence, something better than biological sons and daughters. "I'll give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off." Wow. "And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer." And we read that as the Lord picked up Philip and whisked him away, and the Ethiopian eunuch saw him no longer, it didn't matter. He went on his way rejoicing. The encounter was enough. The seed has sprouted forth and now is growing, watered by the promises of the gospel, gaining growth from the light of the truth of God's word. And that's where we are prepared for the encounters, and that's how we can go from them. It's because we have the word of the Lord. We have it with us. We have the scriptures. We have the sacraments. These are the way the Lord still comes to us and brings home this word and encounters us He hasn't left us out on some desert road all by ourselves, wandering and confused. He has given us Himself, and He continues to do so. What is standing in your way or mine to receive the blessing of God's Word to sustain us on our way, to point us to the way, the truth, and the life, and to grow our faith in Him? If you have sin, you are not excluded from the table of the Lord, because Jesus has taken care of that sin. If you believe that, if you believe Jesus has indeed died for your sins, He bids you to come and receive Him. Now today, because of the situation we're in, we'll come and serve you. But you come with open hands to receive. To receive, to get strength for the journey. Reassurance that indeed this is the word of the Lord. And that He's taken away whatever it is you've done, or I have, to get in the way. That's a good word. That's a good word that we can share with others, that we can share with each other, that we can continue to hear as God brings people in our lives to remind us of it ourselves. So be attentive when you're on the way somewhere. You don't know who God might bring across your path to speak to you, or for you to speak to that person, because of what you have received. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful passage of showing your care for a man, a foreigner, not considered of much account by your chosen people of that day, but of great value to you, so much so that you made this appointment with Philip while he was on his way. Lord, may we know that we are of such value to you, and so are the people that you bring across our paths on a daily basis. So, Lord, help us to be ready to freely give what we have freely received, you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today we are receiving Holy Communion together. Now I'd like to draw your attention to your bulletin insert. What is Holy Communion? Holy Communion is eating and drinking both bread and wine in the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. Holy Communion is intended for those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Trust in Him as Savior and Lord. Confess and repent of their sins and have been instructed in the meaning and proper reception of this sacrament. Our practice here at Stavanger is to offer Holy Communion to believers who have completed confirmation or its equivalent. We believe that in Holy Communion, our sins are forgiven, and that our union with Christ is strengthened, and also our union with one another. If you would please remain in your seats, we will approach you and supply you with the sacrament. If you could just hold out your hand so that we could place it into your hand without making contact, that would be great. Let us come to the Lord with a confession of our sins. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin, or also up here on the screen, reading under the heading Congregation. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, And for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, in true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, which is printed in your bulletin insert, or it's also up on the screen. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ has now given to you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all of your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Please stand as we give thanks to God for his grace to us. Lord, grant by your word and the power of your Holy Spirit that as we have received your body and blood, we may be assured once again of the forgiveness of all our sins and be strengthened by your presence. Father, we humbly receive the benefits of this sacrament and offer you our spiritual sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now let's sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.